Well, good morning, y'all. I truly believe there exists in each one of us this tension where we try and live between two worlds. We so desperately, I think, deep down want to have a meaningful relationship with Jesus, to have a relationship with God, and yet we don't want to give up the stuff of this world either. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that I've grown a little fond of this old world, and I'm not really interested in departing from it anytime soon. And I think that if we're honest, what happens is we kind of take this Jesus thing on for a while, thinking that it's going to be a quick fix for all that's off in my life. But after a while, it just starts feeling a lot like work. And it takes too much of my time and commitment. And so before long, we really stop everything that we're doing until finally maybe we have an occasional Sunday morning church thing that we do. But other than that, we have been completely disengaged from anything even remotely spiritual. And as a result of that, I think what happens is we're not really experiencing the kind of satisfying life that the Bible promises that if we follow Jesus, we would experience. We're not feeling the spiritual connection and transformation. We're not experiencing the presence of God that we'd like to have. And so we don't have this abundant life. And I think the question is, how do we get that? Like, how do we get that? You know, how do we move forward out of a life that is empty and void of meaning and into a life that is fulfilling and is a life of abundance? So I think that this tension is real, and I know it because it exists inside of me a lot. And I think that the Bible actually acknowledges that this tension exists in us where we try so hard to live in both worlds. Because the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, he addresses this very thing there when he says, "Do not conform any longer to the culture of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your minds and change the way that you think. And then you will learn a new way of living, now understanding God's will, which is a way better life." So I think what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage is that really we have so blindly followed the culture of this world that we've gotten really comfortable in it without giving it much thought. And we tend to follow the crowd and never really kind of break away to think about what really life is all about. And so if we're to live fully for Jesus, then we need to change the way we think and see beyond the cultural norms. And so Paul says, do not conform any longer to the culture of this world. Well, like, what does that mean? If we were to go back to the original Greek text, which is what the New Testament of the Bible was originally written in, and we look at that kind of original context for that word to conform, it has the idea of to identify with. And in other words, I feel like somewhere down the line, we lost our true identity. And up until now, we have really identified with the culture of this world, really by just blending in, right? And we've allowed ourselves to be shaped and molded by whatever culture dictates is the way that we should live. We've become very comfortable living within the limits of the cultural norms, primarily because we don't want to really stand out as being different because we don't want to be judged, right? And, you know, a great example of this is the whole notion of wearing masks, right? I mean, in January of last year, if you'd have walked into a Target store wearing a mask, people would have looked at you like you were crazy, right? 90 days later, just 90 days later, if you'd walk into that same store without a mask, I mean, you'd be ostracized. And so now wearing masks are the new norm, and we're comfortable wearing them not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it's now socially accepted. I mean, can you imagine being the one person in a group of 100 that is the only one wearing a mask and how you feel standing on the outside? But because it's now socially accepted, we feel comfortable doing it. And I think that that really gets down to the core of the issue, is following the principles of what Jesus calls us to do is exceptionally difficult because it is not socially acceptable. It's not. And truly following the lifestyle that Jesus asks us to live flies in the face of social norms. And if we're to follow Jesus for real, then we're going to have to begin to live counterculturally, which sounds like a great concept, but it's very, very difficult, I think, to pull off day in and day out. And I mean, think about all the ways that Jesus asks us to live differently that are in direct opposition to the views of our culture, the way culture views money and material possessions and how culture defines success, or the way culture views sexuality, or even just something simple as helping other people. It can be very controversial, and we go right down the line. And, you know, we live the way our culture dictates the way we should live, and we love the things that it tells us to love. We love the lifestyle, the desire, the pleasure. But what culture is trying to get us to become is not the person that we were created to be. I really believe that. But instead, it is simply just to blend. Culture is just trying to push us into the herd mentality where we just become like everybody else. But the truth is that we were created for something more than that. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here when he says, do not conform any longer to the culture of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind and change the way you think. Paul's saying that if you want a better life, in order to do that, we're going to have to make some significant changes, not small changes, I mean transformational changes. Again, to look at, you know, the Greek context to it, the idea of what he's talking about here is to, in the word change is where we derive our word metamorphosis from. And it has the idea of a complete and utter transformation of our inner self. It changes the very essence of who we are and the way that we live. That we are no longer limited by what culture dictates how we should then live, or how we should act, or what we should strive for in order to be successful in the eyes of the world. That we live differently. That we move outside of the box that culture tries to confine us in and live outside the boundaries of the cultural norms so that we can live fully in God. And that's exactly, I think, the exact point that Jesus makes in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, when he says, if anybody wants to follow me, you must deny yourself. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose their very self? It's interesting when you look at that phrase in verse 23, when Jesus says that we are to deny ourselves, it has the idea that we're actually to stop acting like yourself. In other words, the yourself that was created by this culture. Which is really to say, stop acting like who you're not. Just because culture tells you who you are by the cultural norms that are imposed on you doesn't mean that that's who you really are at your core. If we believe that we were created by God, which most of us do, then don't you believe that we were created with a particular design in mind? And so if you go against that design in the way that you live your life, in the way that you were intended to live your life, how do you think that's going to turn out? I don't think that story ends well. So the question is, are we now able to disrupt ourselves and become something different and become the person that we were created to be before it's too late? I really love this, and I talk about this all the time, this idea of disruption, because I truly believe that we can really get into this almost like a trance, like in the daily grind, and just kind of go through life mindlessly. And the whole notion of disruption, the definition is to interrupt or to throw something into a state of disorder in an effort to prevent normal or expected functioning. And in this case, we're talking about, you know, your life. We want you to disrupt you in an effort to prevent you from normal or expected functioning. All right? In other words, it's like a wake-up call, where all of a sudden we like pop out of this trance that we're in, that we've been going through the motions of how you've always done things, and to be able to learn a new way of life that allows you to get freed up from the daily grind and to live fully with God with a new sense of purpose. I mean, we really do get complacent, and we do our thing, and we do the same thing over and over, and we get checked out. We check out day in and day out. And we have to, I believe, disrupt ourselves while we still can, while we still have the courage to do something different. The more we can disrupt ourselves, I believe, the more we can transform ourselves, the closer we can get to getting back to the true nature of our true authentic self, the person that we were created to be. And when that happens, I can now, as we've been talking about in the series, create a new reality for my future, because I have now successfully changed my worldview, and I'm beginning to see the world in which I live and my life differently. And I can finally see past the horizon of this world and understand that I was created for something so much more than just this world. And, you know, just to be... just to be completely honest with you, I'm not up here preaching at you. I'm really preaching at me, and truly this is the reason why I volunteer here to speak, because this is like a big old therapy session for me on stage with all of you, just kind of working it out. And it keeps me grounded, and, you know, it keeps reminding me every week, because I have a, you know, a tendency just to go off. And I can so easily get caught up in my world of doing more deals and, you know, becoming more successful and making more money. And I really have to fight through all of that, because that's in me, that's innate in me, that success thing. And I really have to fight through all that to keep what's really important at the forefront. And I think it's just really easy to lose perspective. And I have to stop and ask myself, okay, what's really important here? And what does it look like for me to do business as a follower of Jesus? What does it look like to conduct myself differently and to live and work counter to the rest of business culture? As everyone in the business world is seeking more money and more power and more pleasure and being more and more self-centered, can I find the strength to break out of that mold and strive to find purpose and mission in the things that I do every day? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm still trying to build a profitable business, and I hate losing money, but not at the expense of what it is that I am seeking, which is a life of fulfillment where I can use my position, I can leverage that to make a difference in the world best I can. I was faced with this exact situation this last week. I am currently working on a new development just outside of Fulton Market District in downtown, and It sits adjacent to a housing development where it's a community of people that are, you know, pretty impoverished. Most of them are struggling to make ends meet. And I have the opportunity to help that community derive some direct financial benefit from my development that will really help to improve the quality of lives, because I need something in the minutia of title from them. And so, you know, I was faced with a choice. I could have probably gone into that meeting, made a pretty low-ball offer that wasn't even close to what I could afford to pay for what I need. And my guess is they probably would have taken it, because it would have been some money that they probably needed and wouldn't have the ability to have gotten otherwise, so they would have taken that. But instead, I unintentionally disrupted myself on my way to that meeting, because rather than, you know, have that meeting at my office or have that roll up in my nice car into the, and walk and kind of get in and out of the meeting in at their office, I made a decision to walk several blocks through the neighborhood, walk down into this housing community and through this housing community. And by the time I got to their community center where I was meeting this group of people, I was disrupted. Because now when I walked into that meeting, I wasn't seeking the best negotiation. I was seeing, what can I do to help this community financially? And so when I walked in there, I really wanted to connect with this group of people, and we had a great time. And at the end, when I made them the offer, I made them the offer at the top of what I could pay. And I let that, by disrupting myself on my way to that meeting, it flipped my negotiating style. And rather than negotiating the best I could, I negotiated the worst deal I could to help these people. And it was, you know, completely different. So I think the question is, can we disrupt our daily routine and see that the stuff that we do every day, day in and day out, there are opportunities all around us? And can we begin to see what we can do to make a difference in the things that we do every day? How it can look different from anybody else that's doing it, because I'm a follower of Jesus. How is it different? How can I view my life differently? I could have saved a pretty significant amount of money through that negotiation. But then what? What would that have got me? It would have been just another empty deal. I would have made a few more bucks. But is that what's driving me? Or am I really driven by my belief and my faith in Jesus and what he asked me to do to make a difference in this world? So now, when I'm working on that project, I have the ability to envision that project differently and see it as an opportunity to make a difference rather than to make a deal, which is way more fulfilling. Can we flip it? Can we flip our perspective, see our lives differently, and see the opportunities that are right there in front of us all the time? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and change the way you think, and then you will learn a new way. A new way of living, which is now understanding what God's will is, which is a way better life. Jesus isn't calling us to be usual. He isn't calling us to blend. He's calling us to live counterculturally, to be abnormal in a sea of normality, to live an extraordinary life in a world that's all about just maintaining the status quo and doing the least that we can. He's calling us to live differently. And I think if I were to sum it up, Paul is implying here that if we can finally achieve becoming successful in the eyes of the world, which we all want to do from a young age, at the end of the day, what do I have? I mean, when they put me, who was successful in this life, in the ground, at the end of the day, it's just over. I may have made a few more bucks, but how does that have any meaning on that day when I leave this world? But if I can manage to really truly disrupt myself while there's still time and make some transformational changes where we can now walk through this life awake and alive with this idea that we can make a difference, that we can live differently, one that now blows through the limits of the constraints of this world, Paul says now the real you, the you that God created you to be from the beginning of time, can now be freed up and experience the life that God created you to live, which is a way more fulfilling life. So can we find the courage and the strength to rise up and disrupt ourselves and create a new reality for our future, where we really are walking through this life differently, where we understand that there are a limitless amount of possibilities and opportunities that go beyond the realm of this world? Can we disrupt ourselves and get freed up from the clinches of this world and live a life of brilliance?